Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Donna Crowe. Glad you guys are here. I think this is going to be a fun broadcast. It's going to be pretty informal here. This is sort of a spur of the moment thing. It's just something that, basically the name of the program is the 40-Day Real Food Challenge. And this is something that came up in my own personal life recently. I just was just thinking about how I'd let some things slip in my diet and just wanted to tighten things up. And I thought, I'm just going to do like a 40-day fast, not from food, but a 40-day fast from anything artificial. I don't eat that much of what anybody would consider artificial foods or snack foods or anything like that, but I have a few places where I have gotten kind of lax, like maybe eating tortilla chips, that kind of thing. And I just really wanted to tighten up, and as I shared this with a few other people, they were really excited about the thought of doing this type of fast. And so I thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to issue a challenge and see how many people want to join in on this and just see some changes in your energy level and your blood sugar levels. I mean, doing this kind of fast, which is not a fast, again, from food. It's not like you don't eat. It's just that you only eat real food. This can have just a stunning effect on your health. It can cause blood sugar levels to go normal within days. It can cause your energy to come up literally. Some people, they notice their energy comes up the very first day of this kind of eating. And serious issues can begin to back down in reverse when you eat this type of diet. And so I did a blog. If you haven't already read it, you can go to yourexcellenthealth.org. And I kind of went over in somewhat detail what a real food fast or diet, you know, contains and what it doesn't contain. It's really not very complicated, except that we have been so trained by our just American lifestyle to consider manufactured ingestibles to be real food, and we have been so socially trained to eat stuff that really isn't even food, that when it comes to going, well, if I don't eat that, what do I eat? People just don't even have a clue what real food is, you know? It's just really been kind of amazing to me. So basically, when I think of real food, I just think of anything that God created. You know, if it grows on a tree, grows in the garden, you know, fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, you know, meat. For me, I'm not a vegetarian. I was for about 15 years, and it just didn't work out for me. I was a very conscious vegetarian. By that, I mean I really made an effort to make sure I got balanced proteins and those kind of things, but it just didn't work. My body was needing more protein than I was getting, and so I went back to eating meat, and it helped immediately. So I do eat meat on a daily basis, so I consider that real food. And again, along with your basic fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and beans, grains, things like eggs, that's real food. If it comes in a box, it's probably not what I would consider real food for the most part. I would say about 98% of the time. There are some things that you can get, certain grains and things that are whole grains that are lightly or not really processed at all that you can get that's packaged food. But and so that's not what I'm talking about. But the grocery stores are shelves are lined with boxes and boxes and cans and bottles of things that, yes, you can eat them, and they will sustain life, but they won't sustain health. And I don't know, you know, most people are not spending their days reading statistics, but because I am interested in health and this is my calling, I do read statistics, and it's scary out there, people. The level of diabetes has just skyrocketed. It's just out of control. Young children are showing up with diabetes that normally wouldn't show up in someone until they were 60, and it is entirely diet-related, and it's entirely from eating these foods that are, again, they're what I call manufactured ingestibles. They look like food. They taste good, you know, if you're accustomed to them. If you have a really clean diet, these foods don't even taste good. But you can eat them and they won't instantly poison you or they won't instantly kill you, but over the long term, they don't sustain health and your body can't live on them. You know, most people have the concept that food is entirely about fuel and that if you put some fuel in there, the body will burn it. And it's all just a bunch of chemicals, and it really doesn't matter what form it's in, as long as you get those certain biochemicals in there. It's just fuel, and it burns. It's either sugar, you know, it's either, you know, it turns into glucose and fuels your body, or it doesn't. But it goes way beyond that. Your body is made of food. The building blocks that your body makes new cells with comes from your food. And if you're giving it really poor quality building blocks, it's not going to build a high-class building. You know, you're either building a shanty or you're building something really nice. And your body needs healthy, high-quality materials to build a high-quality body that's healthy, that has good muscle tone, that has good skin tone, that enables your brain to function. We're looking at a health crisis here in America. And it's not because we're not insured, and it's not because doctors charge too much. The health crisis is because we are eating ourselves into ill health. Most of the disease in the United States is entirely preventable with diet. Okay? So here we are. We have a 40-day real food challenge, and the challenge is to put all these things away that are not real food. And when I say real food, it's like, you know, if it didn't exist before 1900, the year 1900, if it didn't exist before then, don't eat it. And just do this for a month and just see how you feel. My personal experience is that it's not just a natural thing for me. For me, it's a spiritual issue. My concept is that God is the one who created me. He's the one who created my body. He's the one who designed it to function on the food that he created for it. And I have come to understand, I'm not pushing this on anybody else, but for me, I have come to understand that when I put stuff in my body that's not real food, it's kind of, it's an act of arrogance, and it's disrespectful, you know. If I have a really nice car, say I've got, you know, Rolls-Royce, Mercedes-Benz, Cadillac, something, a really nice car, and I give it to someone, and they just abuse the heck out of it, put cheap gas in it, you know, never change the oil, just don't take care of it, I'm going to wish that I hadn't given it to them because I would feel like they're disrespecting the gift that I gave them. And so for me, that's just my philosophy. I feel like it's disrespectful to eat most of the food that's in the grocery store. But I realize for a lot of people, it's not even a concept that has even come across their radar. They've grown up with this. They see the commercials on TV. This is presented by people that they think care about them. But the reality is that if you see an advertisement on TV and they're telling you that it's healthy, don't just believe that. Check and find out if that's actually true. Because I've seen stuff advertised that I thought, oh, my God, I thought my eyes were going to roll back in my head permanently because I could not believe that this product was being presented as a real food and a health food when it was just loaded with things that are so detrimental to health. And so you have to understand that the food that's in the grocery store is not there because the people who are making it are thinking, We have gotten insight on what's going to help people to be healthy, and we want to make it convenient for people to have good health. That's not their interest at all. Their interest is we want to make something that tastes good, that people want to repeatedly eat, and we want it to be able to sit on the shelf a long time. Basically, they want your money, and they want to produce a product that's not going to spoil. Well, real food spoils. Manufactured ingestibles don't. Manufactured ingestibles can sit on the shelf indefinitely, and they'll just sit there and sit there and sit there. The exception to that would be, say, dried herbs. I've had some that were 10, 12 years old and used them, and they still worked wonderfully. But that's a dried herb. Real food, fruits and vegetables, meats, they spoil. And if they don't spoil, there's something wrong. Let me just tell you a story about food and spoilage. I had been in the habit of buying vine-ripened tomatoes at the local grocery store. They looked good. They tasted pretty good, you know. Not the same as a homegrown tomato, but they tasted pretty good. They had fairly good flavor. And I purchased some and put them on the counter and was going to make something like salsa, something like that with them. And then my whole idea about what I was going to eat for a while just completely changed. And I just thought, I just am not in the mood for tomatoes. So they sat there. I did nothing with them. They sat there. And I looked at them and I thought, boy, these are like, they're not spoiling at all, you know. And I mean, normally a tomato, if it sits more than a week, it's going to start to break down, start to mold, something like that. So we just left them sitting there just to see what would happen. And they sat there for like a month and a half and never spoiled. And I went, okay, I won't be buying those again. And you know, even when it comes to buying real food, you want to do a little bit of research around that also. The best, the most ideal is to buy local, not food that's trucked in because, for a number of reasons. But you want to buy local, and if you can, buy from people that you know are growing organically and also that are growing with a view to nutrition, that they're nutrient-dense foods. There's a whole bunch of major mass food growers that have suddenly joined into the organic bandwagon, so to speak, but they're growing food on soil that's so incredibly depleted that even though it's organic, doesn't have pesticides in it, it has so little food value. And then a lot of them, I think, are being irradiated, is what my understanding is, and in order to keep them from spoiling, you know, or to keep them from having like E. coli, things like that on them. And I suspect that's probably the case with those tomatoes. Either that or they have been genetically modified to not spoil. So that's another thing you have to watch out for is genetic modification. But you want to purchase locally if you can. So back on the topic of nutrient density, you want food that is rich in nutrients, and the longer it takes a vegetable to get to you, the fewer nutrients it has. And we're already starting with a deficit of nutrients in our food because our soils are so depleted. And so tests have shown that foods like broccoli, if you test broccoli for nutrients like calcium, you know, the minerals, let's just talk about minerals mainly, or vitamin C, any of those things, the numbers now compared to, say, like 1950, there was like 80 times the nutrients in broccoli in 1950 than there is now. When you look back and you think, you know, my grandparents didn't have that great of a diet as far as what modern people would consider a great diet. You know, they ate butter, they ate white flour, you know, but they did eat meats and vegetables, and the fruits and vegetables and things that they did eat were nutrient-dense because the soils were not depleted. So on a side note, trace minerals are absolutely essential for good health. Every biological function in your physical body requires an enzyme. So every single biological activity in the human body requires an enzyme, and every enzyme requires a trace mineral tag. And so if you're in low in trace minerals, that's your foundational thing to health. If you are low in trace minerals, it's going to be difficult for your body to fully function in a healthful manner. So number one thing, if you have any kind of a health issue, if you're dealing with any kind of particular disease, diabetes, heart disease, you know, anything, the common modern diseases, MS, all that stuff, you need to make sure that that foundational thing is covered. You've got to have trace minerals. And if you are not able to buy nutrient-dense food from a local grower who is conscious of the need for nutritional density, then you need to be adding trace minerals to your diet. The absolute best ones that I know of are called fulvic acid minerals. That's F-U-L-V as in Victor, I-C. Some people think I'm saying like folic acid. Folic acid is a B vitamin. That's not what we're saying. It's fulvic. It's F as in Frank, U-L-V as in Victor, I-C. So it's fulvic acid minerals. You can read about those on one of my websites, excellentthings.com. Excellentthings.com. You can go there, and there's a link that will lead you to information on fulvic acid minerals. They're inexpensive. They're about $40 a bottle, but that's like a four-month supply. So for $10 a month, you can make sure that you have really good minerals in your system. In addition, fulvic acids help detox heavy metals. They're antibacterial, they're antifungal, they're antiviral. They help detox heavy metals out of your system, and I love this part about fulvic minerals. They're a teeny, teeny, tiny molecule, and they have the capacity to carry, one fulvic acid molecule has the capacity to carry 60 other nutrients with it into your cells. That's how nutrients get carried into your cells. Minerals carry them in. Calcium, for instance, can sit outside a cell, pick up 6 or 8 other nutrients, carry it into the cell, and then the calcium will rotate back out, pick up more, carry more nutrients in, drop them off, rotate out. Well, fulvic acids can carry up to 60 other nutrients. So they really increase your nutrient absorption of what you are eating so that the foods that you're eating really get into your system. So they're fabulous for that. The other thing I love fulvics for, and this is not about diet, but I love this, they will stop a burn in its tracks. If you burn yourself in the kitchen, you put fulvic acid minerals on that burn, it'll instantly stop the burning sensation. All the pain will leave. And in my experience, it will completely get rid of the redness. I burnt myself on 2 fingers, 6 months ago, something like that, maybe a year ago. Really bad. I knew it was going to blister. I mean, it really hurt. It was a kitchen thing. I instantly put cold water and ice on it, but it was just burning like the dickens, and I was out of fulvics. But I went and found a jar that I was real sure was empty, and it just had like 2 drops in it, you know. So I got those little 2 drops out and put it on my finger. Unfortunately, I was only conscious of one finger burning, and the other finger behind it was burnt on the side. And so I didn't put the fulvics on the second finger. I only put it on the first finger. So it turned out to be like an experiment on my own body. But so I put these 2 drops of fulvics, the last 2 little drops I had, put it on that burn on my finger. It instantly stopped burning. The redness completely went away, and within just minutes, you couldn't tell that anything had even happened. Well, when that finger stopped burning, then I realized, oh my gosh, I had burned my other finger. I had no fulvics left, so I just had to, like, you know, let it be. And that burn was a little bit less than the other finger, which is why I hadn't noticed it. It wasn't as intense as the one that I was able to apply the fulvics to. But nevertheless, that lesser burn on the second finger that I was not able to treat, it stayed red for 3 or 4 days, and, you know, it burned for several hours. So, you know, my own little experiment. I just love it. Fulvic acids are awesome. So I think everybody should have them in their kitchen. I think every fireman should have fulvic acids in his kit, you know. So, okay. So where are we? You want to buy local if you can. You want to buy local fruits and vegetables, anything that you can buy locally. For one thing, you support the local economy, but your food's going to be healthier. It's going to have more nutrition to it. So if you can, buy local. Another thing that's talking about things that you want to avoid, I'm not going to go into super detail here because at yourexcellenthealth.org in the blog, I really covered it pretty tightly. You know, boxed cereal, boxed crackers, chips, cheese puffs, cake mixes, cake frostings and cake decorations, boxed puddings. I'm reading this off of the blog that I already did. Things like Hamburger Helper, where you just add a little meat and they've got all the other ingredients. Those things are just absolutely loaded with non-real food. I mean, legally, the government will allow them to be called food, but trust me, your body's going, uh-uh, you know, it's not. They allow things that are totally chemicals to be called natural flavorings, for instance. And but they're not. They're straight out of a chemistry lab. So things to avoid, again, would be boxed instant meals, frozen dinners, frozen pizza, cooking oils. Cooking oils are just one of the absolute worst offenders, and they promote a profound amount of sickness in people, number one being diabetes. Our bodies are designed to run on clean oils that are minimally processed. We're talking cold processed. We're talking low oxygen environment processed, packaged in bottles that are opaque so the light doesn't get through. And the oils in the grocery store, completely different world. They are processed high heat. They have bleaching agents that are used to clean them. They filter them so that there's no sediment, there's nothing live in them. They actually process them with hexane, which is a form of gasoline. The oil that ends up in the grocery store has no resemblance to real oil that you want to put in your body. And when your cells, one of the major building blocks of your cells is healthy oils. And when you don't have healthy oils to build your cells will use what's available. And if these funky artificial oils found in the grocery store is what you're using to build your body, your cells don't work like they're supposed to. And one of the ways that they break down is it causes you to become insulin resistant. Insulin is transported into your cells through the little windows in your cells that are made of healthy oils. And if the windows in your cells are not made of healthy oils, they're made of these funky oils, it becomes like a filter instead of a window. It becomes something that blocks. It doesn't help the insulin transfer. And so one of the causes of insulin resistance is poor oils in the diet. And so the number one thing to do if you are a diabetic or if you know someone's a diabetic, you have to get healthy oils in them. So that's a challenge because they are not readily available. I only recently found some just maybe 6 months ago. They're called Parent Essential Oils. And you can read about those at the original Homazone. .com. Homazone is spelled H-O-M-O-Z as in zoo, O-N, homazone.com. That's the original homazone.com. You can read about Parent Essential Oils there. These are the only really healthy oils on the market that I know of. I have to be careful what I say when I talk about specific foods that I would not eat. So there are some oil companies out there who say that they process in low light and low oxygen, and I've tried their oils, and they're really funky. They're just rancid and not good. So be cautious. Oils should smell fresh. They should taste fresh. They should not burn in the back of your throat. If you buy oil in capsules, like if you buy evening primrose oil in a capsule or vitamin E in a capsule, any of those things, don't just throw that capsule in your mouth and wash it down. Bite into it. See, does it taste like something that's fresh and live, or does it taste rancid? Does it burn in the back of your throat? If it does, don't take it. Throw that stuff in the trash, because rancid oils are extremely toxic to your body. So you want healthy oils, and on the subject of oils, canola oil. Canola oil is not something that anyone should be eating. And there's a big push. This is one of the things that drives me crazy that I see on TV, that they're trying to tell people this is a healthy oil. It's not a healthy oil. It's not meant for human consumption. It's came out of Canada, and it was considered a waste product, and they found out they could make oil from it and turn this waste product into money. And so if you're not familiar with the dangers of canola oil, I highly recommend that you do a Google search, put in those exact words, dangers of canola oil, and read up. You do not want to be ignorant about this. So when it comes to oil, you're going to have to read labels. You cannot purchase probably any salad dressing ever again from the grocery store if you're going to avoid certain oils like cottonseed and canola and soy and corn. These are just devastatingly unhealthy. And again, people think that the main issue with diabetes is how much sugar you're eating. That is an issue. But the top number one issue is the oil that you're ingesting. If you are not ingesting healthy oils, it promotes diabetes. So make sure that you get an education on what are healthy oils. Read up on the parent essential oils at theoriginalhomazone.com. This is not something you want to be ignorant of. I know people are busy, but take the time to read up on this, because it will save your life, possibly save the lives of people that you love. It's these oils are essential, again, for building blocks. Again, don't have the concept that food is just about fuel, that I just burn it, use it, and go on. Your food is about fuel, but it's also about building blocks, and you have to build healthy cells with the food you eat. And if the food you eat is not really food, if it's a manufactured ingestible, which the cooking oil in the store is, you're not having healthy cells, and it causes all kinds of breakdowns. So on the other subject of the boxed cereal and crackers and chips, these kind of things, in addition to the fact that they're lacking in life and vitality. I mean, just imagine pouring out, just open up in your mind a picture of your kitchen table, and you're going to take a box of cereal and pour it out there, a bag of chips and pour it out, you know, a box of the ingredients in, say, Hamburger Helper, and look at these things. They don't even look alive. It's just like, wow, this like overly processed product. And then take another table and imagine putting on it apples and oranges and tomatoes and lettuce, putting fruits and vegetables on this table, live stuff like eggs. That's food. This other stuff that's all snacky and crunchy, and it's not food. In your body, in addition to the fact that, you know, it's just you know, it's void of, like, enzymes. We mentioned enzymes before. Enzymes are required in every biological function. Well, where do we get enzymes from? We're supposed to get them from our food and live food. And when you heat food, it kills the enzymes. And so all of these foods that are in the cereal box, the cracker box, the chip bags, those are all so superheated and so processed that there's not an enzyme to be seen. The fatty acids are destroyed. The vitamins and minerals are not there. That's why they have to add stuff back, because these things are so void of nutrition that they're required to put nutrition back in. But even so, it's not real food, people. And what it does is it turns into pure sugar in your system. And so then your system's flooded with these simple sugars, and that causes a flood of insulin in your system. And you repeat this process over and over again, where you're putting simple sugars in, you get a flood of insulin, simple sugar, flood of insulin, simple sugar, flood of insulin. And eventually the pancreas gets tired of this. Your pancreas is supposed to produce insulin, but it's not supposed to be like shooting out massive amounts over and over and over and over again. And so there's just so many, on so many levels, these foods are not good. They're manufactured ingestibles. You need to begin to think of them in that way rather than even considering them food. So we talked about salad dressing, canned soups. I was looking at canned soups the other day. Someone was mentioning they wanted tomato soup, and they wondered if there was any such thing as a good tomato soup. And so I went looking, and looking at the regular soups, there was just nothing. And I began to look and just see what some of the ingredients were in some of these chunky vegetable soups that you think, well, that's a pretty good, healthy thing in a can, got lots of vegetables. But you read the ingredient list, and there's very little in there that you can even recognize. In the list, is like huge, and it's all biochemicals, and not biochemicals, but flavor enhancers and preservatives and all these things that are these long hydrolyzed propyl this and that you can't even pronounce. And even if you could pronounce them, you don't know what they are, and you don't know what they mean, and they're not food. But they help to preserve this food and make it taste like you want it to taste. But it doesn't equate to health and nutrition in your body. So you want to avoid that. Pasteurized foods. This is really a tough one because people, they like their dairy, and I do too. But pasteurized dairy, again, because it's been not just pasteurized but homogenized, between the pasteurization and the homogenization, pasteurization is like super, super high heat. We are talking really high heat. And then the homogenization, it changes what was something that was completely natural, full of nutrition, into something that your body goes, what the heck is this and what do I do with it? And it generally causes lots of mucus and loss of energy, and it's just really extremely hard on the body. You can take that same thing. You can take milk that's raw, and people have actually done raw milk fast, where they did nothing but raw milk and saw all kinds of amazing healing in their body. Same thing with raw butter, can be extremely nutritional and healthy. Okay, so pasteurized, you want to avoid that. I can't go into extreme details on every one of these things, but pasteurized milk is not good. If you go, well, how do you get raw milk? I mean, in a lot of states, it's illegal. You can't get it directly from a store. You have to find someone who's selling it. But you can go to realmilk.com, and there, you just look around a little bit on realmilk.com, and you will find that they have a listing state by state of who has raw milk in the state. And you are allowed to buy direct from farmers, you know. A lot of times they'll have you sign a waiver saying that, you know, you're responsible for your own health. And, you know, but you need to know that pasteurization came along not because, well, let me say this. Pasteurization was initially started, I understand, because there was in some locality a problem with some E. coli. But for thousands of years, you know, since the dawn of creation, people have been doing raw milk and doing fine on it, and in fact thriving on it. But then when pasteurization was required, and for a brief time, the farmers went, oh, wow, this is really good, because pasteurization, again, increased the shelf life of their milk. So their milk could sit on the shelf for a really long time and not go bad compared to the raw milk. And so so now those who provide milk, they don't want you to be able to get raw milk. They don't want the pasteurization thing to be reversed, because it'll mean a incredible loss of funds for them, because there'll be much more spoilage. So once again, pasteurization is not because, oh my God, we're all going to die of some bacterial infection from raw milk. Pasteurization now at this point is about shelf life. So if you get raw milk and you're concerned about bacteria, you can heat your milk. You can heat your milk up to 110, 112, something like that, 120 maybe even, and kill bacteria, and it's still going to be better in your body than pasteurization, because pasteurization, the heat that they put milk through is just off the charts. I don't think you can even get it that hot in your home. So it's completely different. And also with raw milk that you heat yourself, it's not homogenized. And so it hasn't been put through a process that, I mean, just imagine what kind of process you're going to have to put cream and milk through in order for the cream to not separate. You know, it's just not healthy. If you're going to do dairy for this 40-day real food challenge, either don't do dairy or go to realmilk.com and find somebody locally who's got real milk. And if you're concerned about bacteria, warm it up. It's still going to be a much, much healthier item, okay? And this is true with cheese. You know, cheese in the grocery store is made from pasteurized milk, and you can get raw cheese generally easier than you can raw milk. There are stores are allowed to sell some raw cheese. We get raw cheese here in our town from a little store, and it's very inexpensive, and it's so tasty. And you'll be surprised at how different your body feels on raw dairy products compared to the pasteurized. It's just a world of difference. All right, I need to really watch the time here and see how much time I've got. It is not really showing clearly. So it looks like I got about 20 minutes. Okay, along the lines of dairy, there are things that you can do that are fermented, and fermented dairy is so incredibly excellent for you. Kefir is a fermented milk, and it's full of probiotics that are incredibly healthy for your digestive tract. And but, again, the kefir that you buy, even in health food stores, has been pasteurized and homogenized. So what do? Well, you can make your own. You can go online and you can buy kefir grains. And kefir grains actually, you know, some people sell some sort of powder that's supposed to help you make kefir at home. But a real kefir grain actually looks like a little tiny segment of cauliflower. And you drop this little, it's like a, looks like a fungus. You drop this little thing that looks like a head of little piece of a head of cauliflower, you drop it into raw milk, and it'll turn it into kefir. It will ferment it, and it produces all kinds of wonderful probiotics, and it's just delicious. And then you can flavor it yourself with fresh berries or whatever you want to flavor it with. Let's see. Same thing with yogurt. You can get yogurt cultures and make your own yogurt. And I know you're thinking, this is like way too much work. Well, you know, you can live for 40 days without eating kefir or yogurt. I'm just mentioning this for people who go, yeah, I'd like to do this. I'd like to experiment with this in my life. You can make your own. Other things that we talked about that are healthy to eat, you know, nuts and seeds. there's a book out called Nourishing Traditions. And it talks about a lot of what I'm talking about here. And one of the things they have in there is a recipe for sprouted nuts, where you take walnuts or pecans or almonds, cashews, any of these kind of things, and what you do is you soak them in water overnight, and in that water you can put salt, and you can put some probiotics, maybe like a spoon of yogurt, or if you have a capsule of probiotics, drop it in there. Let it soak overnight, and then drain it the next day, and then dry it in a dehydrator. And, oh, my goodness, they are so incredibly delicious, and they're really much, much healthier for you than the kind of nuts that you get in the grocery store. Grocery store nuts that have been salted and roasted still are going to have factors in them that are anti-enzyme factors. And basically, there are factors in the nuts that keep them from rotting so that they store well. Works great for storage, but it doesn't work great for your physical body. Your physical body needs enzymes. You don't want anti-enzyme factors in your food. So by sprouting them, it eliminates that anti-enzyme factor, because as soon as it sprouts, then that system is cut off and the enzyme factor kicks in. So the nuts are just healthier, and they're just so delicious. They're incredibly tasty. Be careful with food dehydrators if you don't have one already and you haven't purchased one. We had a situation where we purchased a plastic one from the grocery store, thought it would work fine, you know, bought, oh, $20 worth of really nice organic nuts, did the whole sprouting process, dehydrated them, and when they came out, they tasted like plastic. So I took it back to the store and made them pay not only a refund for the dehydrator, but also for the nuts that I had purchased. And so you got to be careful. There are plastic dehydrators out there that don't do that. And this particular one, the trays were like a brownish color. And so be careful with that. I allowed an hour for this, and I'm thinking there's just not enough time to cover everything. But the other things you want to avoid are artificial sweeteners. They're just death to your body. They cause neurological disorders. They cause epilepsy. They cause, you know, seizures that aren't necessarily epilepsy, but seizures. They cause cancer. They're just so, so bad. So maybe you're a lucky person and you don't get seizures and you don't get the cancer and everything, but what a lot of people don't understand is that anything that goes in your mouth that's sweet, as soon as sweet hits your mouth, the signal goes to your brain that sugar is coming. Your tongue doesn't go, oh, this is an artificial sweetener, this is not real sugar. It just tastes sweet. The signal to the brain is sugar is coming. The signal from the brain to the pancreas is make insulin. So every time you eat something that's artificially sweetened, your body shoots some insulin out there. Okay, but no sugar came. So then your body goes looking for other carbohydrates. Well, this is part of the cause of diabetes in the U.S. and the cause of the pancreas failure to produce insulin in some people is because your pancreas gets fatigued from all these exercises of insulin production, you know, over and over and over again. So even artificial sweeteners, you want to stay away from those, not just because they're artificial, but because they cause blood sugar imbalance. They wreak havoc on your pancreas and your insulin production. It's extremely unhealthy. So I've got a list of those things to avoid. The GM products, genetically modified products, the two most obvious ones are soy and corn. 94%, I believe, of all soy, yes, 94% of all soy is genetically modified. So soy is just not an option unless you're growing your own soybeans and using them. Soy is not an option. And even in that, it has to be like heirloom seeds or something that you know were seeds that are not genetically modified. The problem with genetically modified soy, they're finding, is vast and varied, but infertility, we have rising rates of infertility that are just shocking, and soy is definitely one of the contributors. Also, soy used to be very non-allergic for people. It was a food that was for people who had allergies to other things. They would do soy. Well, Monsanto has genetically modified soy in a way now that it's 7 times more allergic for people than the original soy. And so, unfortunately, soy is in everything. You really have to pay attention. So avoid soy. Corn, 88% of corn is genetically modified. And what they've done is they have genetically added a pesticide to the corn. So the corn has a pesticide growing in it. How much do you love that? You know, I just go, oh, my God, who would think that that was a good idea, you know? So now when you eat corn, you ingest pesticide. Well, their theory is, well, this pesticide is broken down by your digestive tract, and you don't metabolize it. It just goes through your system, undigested, actually. But unfortunately, that theory is proven false because in recent blood samples, everybody they tested had this pesticide in their blood, even little brand-new babies, even the cord blood. This pesticide is showing up. So corn, I'm sorry, it's just to be avoided. I also have a list of other things on there that you have to be careful with it, that are genetically modified. If you're buying organic, it's my understanding, then you can't be genetically modified and organic. So if it says 100% organic, then it's safe. If it doesn't, then you need to do research and find out whether it is or not. Let's see. Carbonated drinks. Carbonated sodas are not food. Carbonated drinks, a lot of people don't know. They actually are imitations of a drink that was popular throughout history, which is called kombucha, fermented drinks. People used to drink fermented drinks, and these fermented drinks had a fizz to them. You can buy kombucha nowadays. My favorite brand is GT's, just the alphabet, GT's, those two letters, GT. Really tasty. They make one that's ginger. They also have one that's got a little bit of a fruit flavor. This is a fermented drink. It's really excellent for your digestion. If you like beer, these taste a little bit like beer for some people, but they're good for you. They're healthy. They're full of nutrients. They're full of probiotics, excellent enzymes, things that improve your digestion, increase your health. Carbonated drinks were designed to mimic that because people liked those fermented drinks, but they, again, shelf life issues. Carbonated drink can sit on the shelf years on end and still remain carbonated. But carbonation, unlike kombucha, that's K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A, and that, again, that's in the list of foods at yourexcellenthealth.org. You can read it on the 40-day Real Food Challenge. Kombucha is mentioned in there. So unlike kombucha, which increases your health, the carbonated drinks, carbonation itself causes a major depletion of calcium in your bones. And, I'm telling you, I've had clients contact me with some real horror stories. I'm thinking of one man in particular, but I've had a number of men who practically dissolved the bones in their spine. And body-wide, they had osteoporosis, but their spine was practically just barely functioning because of mineral loss, because they drank carbonated drinks every single day. Carbonation causes osteoporosis. It also changes the body's pH in a way that makes you really, really vulnerable to diseases related to the acid-alkaline balance in your body, things like cancer, these kind of things. Carbonation itself is just what makes the bubbles, but it causes major imbalances in the body, and it really should be avoided. In addition, carbonated drinks have things like aspartame. Okay, so aspartame is an artificial sweetener that's supposed to help you lose weight. In reality, they've shown that aspartame causes obesity. So here you are drinking your diet soda with aspartame in it, thinking that you're helping yourself lose weight, and you can't figure out why you keep gaining weight. It's because aspartame causes your body to pack on the pounds like crazy. In addition, we've mentioned the other downfalls of artificial sweeteners and sugar in general. You know, carbonated drinks with sugar or without sugar should be avoided. Crisco and margarine. Oh, my God. Another situation where somebody went, how can we make these oils last forever? Let's hydrogenate them. You know, so you take an oil, you know, that starts out somewhat healthy and pump, you know, hydrogen into it, and it gets pumps it in full of air, turns it into this nice white thing that will last forever. Unfortunately, it's not real food, and your body can't use it to build a real body, you know. It can't use it to build healthy bodies. Same with margarine. Somebody mentioned one time, you know, put either Crisco or margarine outside. Just take a spoon of it, put it outside, leave it out there. You can leave it out there year-round, and you'll never see a fly land on it because it's not food. You know, you're better off greasing the hinges of your door with it. It's devastating to your liver, clogs up your cells, causes insulin resistance. It's just nasty. You don't want it in your system. Okay, so that's all the things that you can't eat. The things that you can eat are fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, you know, beans, eggs, grains, rice, you know. Unless you have issues with gluten, you can eat whole grains, you know, bread. I can't imagine that there's any place in the United States where you can't find a health food store that already has whole grain breads and whole grains either in bulk or in bags that you can purchase. If you're going to eat meats, make sure that they're organic if you can. Any of the fruits and vegetables, try to do organic, because if you really want to do a real food fast, you don't want pesticides. You know, again, we're talking about foods that were available, you know, pre-1900s, and that would exclude pesticides and things like this. So people look at this and they go, well, then what do you eat? My suggestion would be get a hold of something like a Mediterranean diet cookbook, because they cook with real foods, and then adjust. If you notice that these recipes have things in them that are on the not allowed list, like a can of this or that, which is hard for me to imagine because most Mediterranean recipes, they don't have any of this stuff because Europeans don't eat like this for the most part. I mean, let me just say this. A friend of mine just came back from visiting Germany. She was in a number of countries, but she said, you know, they don't eat the kind of stuff that we eat. They don't have any of this box stuff. They don't eat the box cereal or the box chips or any of that. They just eat real food. And France is like that. They don't eat artificial stuff, and it's not a real brain strain for them. I was watching a show in Israel, and this guy was staying at a nice hotel. He was by the Dead Sea, and he was basically talking about places to visit in Israel. And he showed the breakfast buffet at his hotel, and I went, wow, that looks like a dinner buffet in the United States. It had meatballs, you know, rolls, vegetables, you know, stuff that looked like almost like casserole, but it was all meat and vegetables. Most of the world does not eat dessert for breakfast. In the United States, people tend to eat dessert for breakfast. Cereal in a box with sugar on it and milk, that's dessert, folks. And if you're eating that for breakfast with some toast with jelly on it, it's just dessert. You might tell yourself that it's a normal breakfast food because that's what your family's always eaten, and that's what the sellers of the cereals tell you, but it's dessert, you know, and it's not a healthy dessert. You can eat desserts that are healthy. So I'm seeing that I've spent a lot of time on here telling you what not to eat, and a lot of you are wanting to know what to eat. So we're going to do another broadcast, I think, on that, and I'll share recipes with people. But I just want to tell you a brief story here about a friend of mine. She is 65. She's been addicted to sugar all her adult life, and only recently in the last few months she got free of it. This person has had fibromyalgia, lots of pain, lots of illness, just no energy, has just suffered greatly. And I've talked to her for years about sugar. Well, recently she got really, really ill, and she couldn't eat sugar while she was ill. And so in this process, she realized from not eating sugar while she was sick that she actually felt better in some ways. So she stayed off sugar, and she's been off sugar for several months now, and she's lost, she said she's lost 15 pounds, but on her pain level, she said it's like 70% less just being off of sugar. And she has said she's added some vegetables and stuff to her diet because she was just a meat and potatoes and sugar girl, you know. But she's gotten off sugar. She said within 2 weeks that she felt phenomenally better. And so I just, you know, want to encourage you that if you have health issues, sugar needs to be one of the things that you dump first and foremost. And if you want to know what to do that's natural, honey, molasses, brown rice syrup, those are your best bets. But even in those, you want them in moderation, small amounts. You don't want to overdose on sweetening. But you know what you find when you do this kind of real food fast? You will find that your food cravings go away. You actually start to crave healthy stuff instead of the funky stuff, especially when you start doing a breakfast that includes vegetables in it. One of the things that I do, really simple, I just saute a small amount of potato, like maybe a third of a potato, really small amount, saute a little bit of zucchini, just barely, like a minute and a half maybe, saute a small amount of onion, and I have a couple of eggs with that, and it gives you energy and endurance. Sometimes you can do a breakfast salad, like you know, just do leafy greens with some avocado, scrambled eggs, maybe a little bit of homemade salsa on it, that kind of thing. It's a completely different way to start your day, and it's the way most of the world does start their day. And it's real food, and it gives you a real good beginning in your day. And so those are options, but I'm going to schedule another broadcast and just talk a little bit more about what you can actually eat for those of you who just don't have a clue. And I will share some actual recipes. I'm already on this 40-day challenge. You can start at any time if you're listening to this broadcast a year from now. You know, go ahead and do it. If you're just now coming to this, go ahead and do it. One thing I also wanted to tell you really quick. You've just got a few minutes left. I happened to get an article just today by Mercola, and he talked about a place called the 100 Days of Real Food. 100daysofrealfood.com, and 100 is just the numbers, 100daysofrealfood.com. Somebody's actually put together a menu. They tell you exactly what to buy, and what they tell you is organic doesn't have to be expensive, that you can eat really well, and they've got this whole thing laid out, and so I thought it was really excellent timing. So I would check that out. They're giving this information away free. So go to 100daysofrealfood.com and check that out. I think it could be extremely helpful. They're going to have recipes and everything there, tell you what to buy, so that's a really good place to start. And I've just got a few seconds left, so hey, guys, thanks for tuning in. Glad you're here. Hope you enjoyed this information. Be brave. Do this. write me and let me know how you do. Tell me, you know, what happens with your energy level. I think this could be really fun. So keep me posted. If you have questions, email me at donna@donnacrow.com. Crow is spelled just like the bird, C-R-O-W. So that's donna@donnacrow.com. Email me. Let me know how you do. If you have questions, I can address them on the next broadcast. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in again.